The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
The biggest mistake we make, but the most frequent mistake we make, is trusting ourselves.
Coming up, Bible teacher and author Joyce Meyer explores the amazing benefits of trusting God in all aspects of life.
And I think the reason why we trust ourselves is because we really want what we want, and we're pretty sure that we might be the only one that would try to make sure that we get what we want.
Next on Life Today.
Well, I think most of you know we've gone many weeks where we couldn't have an audience here in the studio, and we have continued to come to you. And right now, as we have faced a real giant, and we faced coming out from under the, let's say, indescribable assault against everything pertaining to life. And we're going to come out because God is going to lead us out of this ditch and set our feet on a solid rock. I want to share with you this week very important messages, like, for instance, this one with the book title by Joyce Meyer, Unshakable Trust. This really is important, and Betty and I talked to her. I want you to listen to this, because, boy, if there's ever been a time when our trust needs to be unshakable, because our God is unshakable, and He can put us on a solid foundation that's unshakable, I know you're going to be blessed. Be back to share with you in just a few moments. You don't have a problem speaking when the anointing's on. You don't have a problem writing. But I have an idea, when you're moved to write, something has happened that has led you to begin to write. Why did you write Unshakable Trust?
Well, trust is something that we all want to do. Any believer wants to trust God. And I think if we're honest, it's something that at some times in our life, we all have a difficult time doing. Mm-hmm. No matter, you know, I say it's easier to talk about it than it is to do it when you need to do it. I wrote the book, but a few weeks ago, I needed to read the book. So it's an ongoing thing in life. And I think that I doubt very much if any brand new believer could honestly say they totally trust God, simply because you learn how to trust God by having experience with God. And one of the reasons why God doesn't always deliver us from everything the way we would like to be delivered and at the moment we would like to be delivered is because, to be honest, sometimes we need that experience. Even like for me, I find that when I go through, say, a difficult time, maybe a health issue, and I don't understand why I'm hurting or why God's not taking care of it sooner, if you really look, there's almost always something good that you can find or something that you learn in every situation. First of all, when you really have a hard time, a difficult time, it drives you either away from God or further into God. And, of course, His desire is that we're driven further into Him. I always say when you don't have anybody else, you get very friendly with God. Mm. And when you see God's faithfulness in your life and you see Him deliver you, then it gives you just a little bit more trust the next time. But for me, what happens to me when I go through something, instead of it making me hard-hearted, it tenderizes me, and it makes me be more compassionate toward other people that are hurting. Like, I had breast cancer 27 years ago. Well, you mentioned tonight that there was somebody that was here that was fighting cancer. Well, see, I don't have to try to have compassion on how they feel. No. I don't have to work something up. I already know exactly how they feel, and I know the fear that comes along with that word. But then I can also give the testimony that God did take care of it. I did have to have an operation. It would have not been what I would have preferred. But every year since then, for 27 years,
wow,
I've got a clean mammogram when I go for my test. So I continue year after year after year to see the faithfulness of God.
And let me ask you something that I think would help, because I'm curious. How would you define trust from your point of view? When you say the word trust God, how would you define that?
Well, trust is relying on, it's depending on, it's I think knowing that you can be safe with someone. There's no way that we're going to trust God if we don't know that He is inherently good and that He is nothing but good. And so even though everything doesn't feel good, God still intends to bring good out of it in the end. And I say in the end because there's a beginning, there's an end, but boy, it's the middle that you got to make it through. Mm-hmm. That's tough. Many times we put our trust in the wrong places. And I think that the biggest mistake we make, but the most frequent mistake we make, is trusting ourselves. And I think the reason why we trust ourselves is because we really want what we want, and we're pretty sure that we might be the only one that would try to make sure that we get what we want. And I really think that's a big issue with this thing about trusting God. I think if we're willing to say, well, God, I want what you want more than I want what I want. And I think that's something that comes in time. You know, Jesus said, if you can, remove this cup. But He followed it up with a very important statement, nevertheless, your will be done and not mine. So I've actually learned how to pray, God, this is what I want, especially if it's something I can't find scripture and verse for. You know, this is what I want, this is what I would like to see happen, but if that's not what you want or not the way you want to do it, then please don't give me what I want.
Amen.
Give me what you want, because ultimately, even if we get what we want, it's not going to keep us happy for very long. And so I think if we can learn to be willing to lay down that self-will and want what God wants, then it's easier to put ourselves in God's hands, as long as you know that God is good. And just because bad things happen to good people, that doesn't mean that God's bad. Right. We live in a fallen world, and sin is rampant in the world today. And God created everything good in the garden. Even the devil started out good. And he was the one that made the choice to be in pride and want to take over God's position. I will, 5 times he said, I will, and God said, well, here's what's going to happen.
Yeah, be like God without God.
I'm going to be like God without God. And so then Adam and Eve, and everything was good, the garden was good, and they had all this good stuff that they could do. There was only one thing.
Heavy request.
One thing that I don't want you to do. And even that, when God told them not to do that, it was for their benefit, not necessarily for God's. And so Satan used that to try to make Eve feel like God somehow maybe wasn't good because he was holding out on her just a little bit. And so she wanted to have that one thing. Sometimes I think if there just wouldn't have been that apple, we would all be so much better off. And that sin nature then was passed down to every human being. Of course, Jesus came as the second Adam, gave us a brand new nature. But we have choices to make all the time. And so when sin came into the world, evil came into the world. But when I say that, it's not always our own personal sin that causes our problems. My father's sin caused me to suffer.
Hurt you deeply.
It wasn't my own thing.
That's right.
It was his. Many times, just foolishness. You know, a fool has a lot more trouble than a wise man. And so we do a lot of foolish things. Like, how many people abuse their bodies for years and years and years, don't get enough sleep, live on junk food, way too much stress in their life, and then 25 years later, everything falls apart. And then they don't understand why suddenly they don't get a miracle. I was one of those people. Mm-hmm. And I did it working for God. And so even if you think you're doing something in God's name, you still can't break His laws. And so there's healing for us. There's deliverance for us. But sometimes if we've taken 30 years to make a mess, God doesn't fix it in 2 weeks. I'll never forget the woman who came to the altar and this is actually funny but sad. And she put her hands on her hips, and she looked at me, and she said, "I want my money back." And I thought, what are you, she'd given some offerings, and I thought, what are you talking about? She said, "I've been doing what you said to do for 2 weeks, and not one thing has changed." And I'll tell you what, I mean, it was hard for me not to laugh right in the woman's face, because I thought, you just don't even have a clue. I mean, surely we could give God equal time that we gave the devil.
Yeah.
You know, if it took me 30 years to almost kill myself, why can't I at least give God a year or two to work with me to get things back? So our problems are not God's fault.
No, that's right.
It may be that we've opened a door. It's smart to just say, God, if there's a door that I've opened here, something I need to see. Let's just take unforgiveness, for example. Do you know that there are probably more angry Christians in the church?
No, it's terrible.
Than there are ones that can actually say, I'm not holding anything against anyone. I have no unforgiveness in my heart. And the Bible tells us plainly that if we won't forgive other people, that God can't forgive us, and that we give Satan an advantage over us if we stay in unforgiveness.
We're actually turned over to tormentors.
Yeah.
They have access to torment.
People are mad at God because He hasn't given them what they want. They're mad at the people who hurt them and offend them. They're mad at themselves. And so there can be reasons why we have things come into our life. But when I have a problem, I don't go on a digging expedition. I don't start trying to find out what my latest sin was. I just say to God, if I did something that opened the door for this, please show me. I want to repent and correct it, and that's the end of it. If God doesn't show me anything, then I say, but either way, I trust you to take this thing and work good out of it, make me a stronger person and a better person, and give me compassion for hurting people while I'm going through this.
Do y'all appreciate this? Do you understand this is insight? I think it's critically important for everyone here and everyone watching on television to understand. Joyce didn't have any trouble expressing herself, but she's got a lot of questions, a lot of issues to cover. And she couldn't do it even in an entire conference. But what she does when she sits down and pours out years of interaction with God and insight and inspiration God's given her, plus studying His Word and the Word getting in her heart to where it's bound up inside, then she flows it out. And all the questions, some of you may be thinking of questions right now. Well, I wonder about this. Well, that's why she writes the book, because she can address those particular questions that come up. As you've been listening, Betty, and she's been talking about trust, has anything come to your mind that you might say, address this for me?
A lot of times I think Christians have trouble with the trust issue when they don't get what they prayed for.
That's right.
When they don't get the result that they've poured their life and their heart out for.
It's just not wise when you let your problems drive you away from the one person that can help you.
That's right.
Please don't do that. If you're watching and you're not getting it the way you wanted, or you had a terrible loss, or a loved one died, and you're tempted to blame God and walk away from God, please don't do that. He loves you. He's the only one that can really help you. And God never promised us that we would not have any suffering or pain in this life. But what He did promise us is that we would never have to go through anything alone.
That's right.
That He would always be there with us. And something that I tell people when I do altar calls and invite people to receive Christ is, I'm not promising you that you'll never have a difficult day. I'm not promising you that you'll never have a problem. But I can tell you that your worst day with Jesus will be better than your best day ever was without
Amen.
Him.
Is that
Amen.
The truth?
That's
Did
true.
You just hear the truth? You know, many times people have a tragedy, but they've never developed any love with God.
Right.
When the tragedy comes and you don't have that love, it's very difficult, because it's difficult when you have the love to see that God Almighty can work even this terribly difficult thing for good to those who love Him. Whatever it is that's come in your life, and please listen, Joyce has talked to you and we talked to you about knowing a living person personally. The Father that created us and loved us and gave His Son not only to redeem us, but also to send another of the same kind. And you could not help but say before we walked out of here, what happened in your life was the power of the Holy Spirit, another one of the same kind coming to live in you, and you've walked in that trust. I see in this book that you are talking to every person that will give an ear and put their eyes on truth. You're trying to show them that they can have that same person living in them in power. Am I assessing that correctly, Joyce?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I always say this, and I say it often, so maybe you've heard me say it. Jesus did not die so we could all have our own little brand of religion. I'm not even sure religion's a word he cares for.
I don't think he does.
But he died so we could, each one of us, have an intimate, personal, living relationship with God.
Yeah, that's right.
He comes to live on the inside of us. And the most exciting thing in my life was when I found out that God didn't just live in the church and I could visit him for 45 minutes on Sunday morning, but that he wanted to be involved in every single thing, and he cared about every single thing in my life. And you know, when everybody has questions, and you know, James and Betty, even for years about the sexual abuse in my childhood, and I was born again when I was 9, and I prayed for God to get me out of it, and it didn't happen. You know, it just didn't happen. And a couple things. One of the things, when we're praying a prayer that involves somebody else's will, we have to understand that God is not going to take my prayer and make them do what I want them to do.
That's so right.
So we pray, and God deals with people. But even my mother knew what my dad was doing because I told her, and she also caught him one time. And she was a sweet lady, but she just had a lot of fear and weakness, and she didn't think that she could take care of me and my brother. And back then, the scandal of incest would have been unbelievable. So she chose to hide from it. And so, yes, I prayed that God would get me out of the situation, but they didn't pay attention to what God was saying to them. So we always want God to deliver us, but I like to say this. I think there's a couple of kinds of faith. There's a kind of faith that can get you delivered from something, but I believe there's a higher kind of faith, a deeper kind of faith that will take you through it.
Yes.
With a stable, good attitude that can say all the way through it, this hurts so bad I don't think I can stand it, but I believe, God, that you are good.
Yes.
And I will believe that until I draw my last breath. I think that honors God more than anything else.
One of our best friends. Fabulous. One of our best friends who's just gone through a horrible experience has said, what the devil meant for my destruction, God will use for my instruction.
Right.
And that means we can learn. Listen to me, please. Every single person listening has the opportunity to trust the God that we're talking about, that Joyce has talked about. Boy, I really want to thank you for watching. Joyce, thank you. If there's ever been a time when we needed unshakable trust, with what we've just come through and what we're going to come out from, the assault of the deceiver and the destroyer, we're going to come out because we trust an unshakable God. I really believe this book will be a tremendous blessing to you. If you'd like to have anybody for any gift right now during this last week, you want the book by Joyce Meyer to learn about the unshakable trust we need at all times in our life, we'll gladly send it to you. Let me just say this to you. Of all the people on the planet that I would want to encourage to care about God's love being shared clearly, not just in word but in deed, you are those people. Because you never look away from the least of these. You never turn your back on a need that God's love through you can meet. Now, this is the last week of Mission Feeding, and you can imagine how the entire world has been hit, certainly those that are impoverished. And we're in the midst of the greatest suffering on the planet, and we're able to be the absolute perfect miracle for the challenge that people face that you're about to see. And we have the absolute immediate cure. I want you to watch this prayerfully. And in this last week of Mission Feeding, I pray you'll become the greatest miracle a person could ever hope for. The miracle of life now, and then coming to know the source of life forever. Watch very prayerfully, because you're going to be a miracle.
As the director of missions for Life Outreach International, I've been able to travel around the continent of Africa. And it seems like everywhere I've been able to go, you just hear the stories of famine, malnutrition, starvation. We hear stories of children dying, mothers heartbroken. Grave after grave after grave we see. And these people are just so desperate. And here I am again in South Sudan, and we've heard more stories, more forms of devastation, more heartbreak. They've just had droughts. They've had even flooding coming through and just wiping out all their crops, all their livestock, everything they could have had. And here they sit, starving again. And then just the other day, they had another devastation of tribal warfare. Now the militia's hitting up. They're being run from their villages, run from their homes. You see them carrying their beds. You see them carrying pots, pans, buckets. What you don't see is food. None of these people are carrying food. Their children are starving. Mothers are crying. We need help bringing food to these people. They're dying and they're desperate. We have people on the ground here that know how to get to them. So please hear my heart today. Let's be that miracle together to bring these dear people the gift of life.
I look into the eyes of those children, and with no exaggeration, I love them very deeply. I've seen the miracle of love working in their lives. Many of the people whose lives you saved when they were children, like some you saw, are now leaders on the continent of Africa. There's tremendous positive progress occurring in some of the impoverished nations because of the miracle of God's love that you help spread. Right now, the crisis is very serious in South Sudan and other places. We need a miracle response. You can imagine the impact that this pandemic has had on support for even the most precious, special, effective mission ministries. But we're believing God for a miracle. And we're going to send you Joyce Meyer's book on the unshakable trust that we've just pointed to and she's talked about. Because that's the trust that we're going to stand in and watch God work miracles. Will you be the miracle today during this last week? Would you go online or would you call that phone number right now and take your bank card and use it like a check? Is there any way you could make a gift of $100 and help feed 10 children for the next months? Would you do that? Could you give $1,000? Is it possible you could do that? We're going to need some of those kind of gifts miraculously through people who say, yes, I can, and care for 100 children. But remember, with $30 or $50, we can feed 3 or 5 children for the next months. Please be the miracle some mother longs for, some family member or some child needs desperately. This is the perfect miracle. It's what love does when love is in action, not just in word. Thank you for going online. Thank you so much for dialing that number. If you get a busy, you be determined. I'm getting through because this is now a lifeline to somebody, and I'm going to be the answer to their prayer. Remember, this is the last week. Your response, we have gifts for you, and we'll include Joyce Meyer's book, Unshakable Trust, because it's going to bless you. Thank you so much for going right now to get that card and make the call and the gift God put on your heart.
Mission Feeding began with a promise to be there in times of crisis for thousands of hurting and hungry children in their time of need. Now more than ever, we need your help to save lives by feeding and caring for children across the continent of Africa. With food reserves gone and many areas experiencing severe famine, we urgently need to replenish our supplies to reach the 350,000 children who are counting on us. Your gift of love can be the miracle answer to a desperate mother's prayer. Call now with your life-saving gift of $30, $50, or $100 that will help feed and care for 3, 5, or 10 children for 3 full months. With your gift, we'll send you the Global Impact of Life Journal. This softcover journal includes pictures from the mission field and inspiring scriptures as a reminder of your impact in giving to bless lives around the world. With your gift of $100 or more, please request the Global Impact Bible. This English Standard Version presents a fascinating guide to the impact of the best-selling book of all time. filled with quotes from well-known figures, photographs, and reproductions of fine art. It highlights the many surprising ways Scripture has shaped civilization. Finally, with your gift of $1,000 or more to help feed and care for 100 children, be sure to request our commemorative bronze sculpture, A Mother's Strength. This is the last week. Please call, write, or make your gift online.
You can see that this child is, it's malnourished, the child is sick. This child's had no food for days. We cannot bring mission feeding here. We cannot actually get to her right now unless you do what you can do. You see, you are that final link. You're that last yard that we need to take, but without that yard, we stop. Please, do whatever you can do. You just give whatever you can give, because I promise you that we will take that gift and we'll turn it into life for this child. We'll turn it into life for this mother, and we will continue to reach the other children and mothers like them here in this village and in this area of South Sudan. But we cannot do it without you. You're that vital link. This mother is counting on me, and I need you to know that I'm counting on you.
You know, one of the most helpful things when you're praying and asking God, whatever's on your heart, if you take a journal and you write down what you believe you hear God hearing, you'll be amazed at how often you can go to a concordance and you can find those very thoughts in a scripture verse. So use the Global Impact Life Journal. And we're going to send also, along with the other things we mentioned, if you'd like to have anybody for any gift right now during this last week, you want the book by Joyce Meyer to learn about the unshakable trust we need at all times in our life, we'll gladly send it to you. Thank you for remembering this is the last week, and we really need a miracle outpouring of God's love through those who love Him with all their heart and who really love their neighbor. Thank you for doing that.
Time for your giant to go down is today, not next week, next month when things look better.
Tomorrow, Louis Giglio says Goliath must fall. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.